In Vice President Cheney's speech a week ago today, he said inspection was actually dangerous because it would create a false sense of comfort. So which is it? Do we believe that inspections should go forward even though they are dangerous? Or are we supposed to believe that they are dangerous and therefore they shouldn't go forward?
Well, the history of the inspections when they took place did lead to a lot of question marks. That's why I said that inspections in and of themselves, inspectors in and of themselves, are not a guarantee that Saddam Hussein is not developing weapons of mass destruction.
Does the president think inspectors should go into Iraq or not?
The president does.
If Saddam does allow those inspectors in, does he avoid regime change?
The policy of the United States is regime change, with or without inspectors.
Tariq Aziz said this morning, he characterized you and several other people in the Bush administration as warmongers, as using the issue of inspections as a pretext to try to topple the regime. And he said he is willing to sit down and talk about all of the issues involving Iraq.
Well, I've met with Tariq Aziz a number of times, both in Baghdad and in Washington and elsewhere. Clearly he does the bidding of his master, Saddam Hussein. They have, over a good many years, demonstrated wonderful talent and skill at manipulating the media and international organizations in other countries. When it's the right moment to lean forward, they lean forward. When it's the right moment to lean back, they lean back. It's a dance. It's a dance they engage in.
The point that I would emphasize to you is that the threat from Saddam Hussein and weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, potentially nuclear weapons capability, that threat is real. We only need to look at the report from the International Atomic Energy Agency this morning, showing what has been going on at the former nuclear weapons sites to realize that. And the policy of inaction is not a policy we can responsibly subscribe to.
We just heard the Prime Minister talk about the new report. I would remind you that when the inspectors first went into Iraq and were finally denied access, a report came out of the IAEA that they were 6 months away from developing a weapon. I don't know what more evidence we need.
Is Iraq's regime of President Saddam Hussein a clear and present danger to the United States?
There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein's regime is a danger to the United States and to its allies, to our interests. It is also a danger that is gathering momentum, and it simply makes no sense to wait any longer to do something about the threat that is posed here. As the president has said, the one option that we do not have is to do nothing.
The president has, I think, put it exactly right. He has said that the one choice we don't have is to do nothing.
As the president has said, and as Prime Minister Blair said yesterday, doing nothing is no longer an option.
He has aggressively sought to acquire chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons over the years.
This is a man who has attacked his neighbors twice, who represses his own people.
He used chemical weapons both against the Kurds and against the Iranians during the 1980s.
Who is continuing to develop weapons of mass destruction, has not disarmed.
He's launched ballistic missiles against four of his neighbors over the years.
Who's tried to assassinate a former American president, who pays $25,000 to Hamas bombers, by the way, some of whom blew up Hebrew University and with it five Americans.
Before the Gulf War, back in 1990, we had reason to believe then that he had established a program to try to produce a nuclear weapon.
We went in and were able to find out that they were within 6 months to a year of having a nuclear weapon.
History shows that you are always surprised about how quickly someone acquires a terrible weapon. We were surprised that the Soviet program was as far along as it was. We thought it would be 1955. It was 1949.
We have to assume there's more there than we know. What we know is just bits and pieces we gather through the intelligence system, but nobody ever mails you the entire plan.
Our intelligence is always imperfect, and we usually find out that what we don't know is the most troublesome.
He now is trying, through his illicit procurement network, to acquire the equipment he needs to be able to enrich uranium.
Aluminum tubes.
Specifically aluminum tubes. There's a story in the New York Times this morning.
Reporting just this morning that he is still trying to acquire, for example, some of the specialized aluminum tubing one needs to develop centrifuges that would give you an enrichment capability.
Scott Ritter, a former United Nations weapons inspector, today addressed the Iraqi National Assembly and basically made the point that there are no problems as far as Iraq is concerned. Listen specifically to what he said.
The rhetoric of fear that is disseminated by my government and others has not to date been backed up by hard facts that substantiate any allegations that Iraq is today in possession of weapons of mass destruction or has links to terror groups responsible for attacking the United States.
We have facts, not speculation. Scott is certainly entitled to his opinion, but I'm afraid that I would not place the security of my nation and the security of our friends in the region on that kind of an assertion by somebody who's not in the intelligence chain any longer.
Is there any hard evidence directly linking the Iraqi government to al-Qaeda and the 9/11 terror attacks against the United States?
There is certainly evidence that al-Qaeda people have been in Iraq.
We've seen in connection with the hijackers, of course, Mohammed Atta, who was the lead hijacker, did apparently travel to Prague on a number of occasions. And on at least one occasion, we have reporting that places him in Prague with a senior Iraqi intelligence official a few months before the attack on the World Trade Center.
It's just more of a picture that is emerging that there may well have been contacts between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein's regime. There are others, and we will be laying out the case.
Again, I want to separate out 9/11 from the other relationships between Iraq and the al-Qaeda organization, but there is a pattern of relationships going back many years.
One of the things we learned from September 11th was that the intent of the terrorist and those who would supply him with weapons of mass destruction is very, very clear. They're to wipe out our way of life.
The problem here is that there will always be some uncertainty about how quickly he can acquire a nuclear weapon, but we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud.
Our generation has now heard history's call, and we will answer it. America has entered a great struggle that tests our strength and even more our resolve. Our nation is patient and steadfast. We continue to pursue the terrorists in cities and camps and caves across the earth. We are joined by a great coalition of nations to rid the world of terror. And we will not allow any terrorist or tyrant to threaten civilization with weapons of mass murder. The conduct of the Iraqi regime is a threat to the authority of the United Nations and a threat to peace. Iraq has answered a decade of UN demands with a decade of defiance. If the Iraqi regime wishes peace, it will immediately and unconditionally forswear, disclose, and remove or destroy all weapons of mass destruction. If Iraq's regime defies us again, the world must move deliberately, decisively, to hold Iraq to account. But the purposes of the United States should not be doubted. The Security Council resolutions will be enforced. The just demands of peace and security will be met, or action will be unavoidable.
Mr. President, are you going to send Congress the proposed resolution today?
I am.
Are you asking for a blank check, sir?
I am sending a suggested language for a resolution. I've asked for Congress's support to enable the administration to keep the peace. And we look forward to a good, constructive debate in Congress. I appreciate the fact that the leadership recognizes we've got to move before the elections and look forward to working with them.
Okay, thank you all.
How important is it that that resolution give you an authorization to use force?
That'll be part of the resolution, the authorization to use force. If you want to keep the peace, you've got to have the authorization to use force. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. But I, you know, there's no. Let me guess. The United States is guilty. The world doesn't understand. We don't have any weapons of mass destruction. It's the same old song and dance that we've heard for 11 long years. And the United Nations Security Council must show backbone, must step up and hold this regime to account. Otherwise, the United States and some of our friends will do so.
President, do you believe that Saddam Hussein is a bigger threat to the United States than Al-Qaeda?
That is an interesting question. I'm trying to think of something humorous to say, but I can't when I think about Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. They're both risks. They're both dangerous. The difference, of course, is that Al-Qaeda likes to hijack governments. Saddam Hussein is a dictator of a government. Al-Qaeda hides, Saddam doesn't. But the danger is that they work in concert. The danger is that Al-Qaeda becomes an extension of Saddam's madness and his hatred and his capacity to extend weapons of mass destruction around the world. Both of them need to be dealt with. The war on terror, is you can't distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam when you talk about the war on terror.
Secretary Rumsfeld in Europe today, when asked if there was evidence tying Iraq to Al-Qaeda, said yes. He did not elaborate. Are you prepared to elaborate? Several of the detainees, in particular some high-ranking detainees, have said that Iraq provided some training to Al-Qaeda in chemical weapons development. So yes, there are contacts between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. We know that Saddam Hussein has a long history with terrorism in general, and there are some Al-Qaeda personnel who found refuge in Baghdad. No one is trying to make an argument at this point that Saddam Hussein somehow had operational control of what happened on September 11th. So we don't want to push this too far. But this is a story that is unfolding, and it is getting clearer, and we're learning more.
If an inspection team goes in now and finds nothing, because perhaps Iraq is very good at hiding it, or perhaps they have nothing, but you all are of the belief that they have it. If they find nothing, does it make your job more difficult in trying to assemble an international coalition?
Goodness gracious, that is kind of like looking down the road for every conceivable pothole you can find and then driving into it. I don't get up in the morning and ask myself that. We know they have weapons of mass destruction. We know they have active programs. There isn't any debate about it. So the idea that if you had an appropriate inspection regime, that they'd come back and say you were wrong is so far beyond anyone's imagination that it's not something I think about.
We've just concluded a really good meeting with members of the United States Congress to discuss our national security and discuss how best to keep the peace. We are moving toward a strong resolution. And all of us, and many others in Congress, are united in our determination to confront an urgent threat to America. According to the British government, the Iraqi regime could launch a biological or chemical attack in as little as 45 minutes after the order were given.
Is the U.S. in any way exaggerating or misleading the American public in regard to the potential threat posed by Iraq?
Is the U.S. government, you mean the senior members of the administration? Not to my knowledge. And if I knew of an instance, I would certainly correct it.
Saddam Hussein is a homicidal dictator who is addicted to weapons of mass destruction.
We agree that the Iraqi dictator must not be permitted to threaten America and the world with horrible poisons and diseases and gases and atomic weapons. We've also discovered through intelligence that Iraq has a growing fleet of manned and unmanned aerial vehicles that could be used to disperse chemical or biological weapons across broad areas. We're concerned that Iraq is exploring ways of using these UAVs for missions targeting the United States. Saddam Hussein has held numerous meetings with Iraqi nuclear scientists, a group he calls his nuclear mujahideen, his nuclear holy warriors. If the Iraqi regime is able to produce, buy, or steal an amount of highly enriched uranium a little larger than a single softball, it could have a nuclear weapon in less than a year. Facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud. The dictator of Iraq is a student of Stalin, using murder as a tool of terror and control within his own cabinet, within his own army, and even within his own family. On Saddam Hussein's orders, opponents have been decapitated. Wives and mothers of political opponents have been systematically raped as a method of intimidation. And political prisoners have been forced to watch their own children being tortured. Failure to act would embolden other tyrants, allow terrorists access to new weapons and new resources, and make blackmail a permanent feature of world events. Later this week, the United States Congress will vote on this matter. I have asked Congress to authorize the use of America's military, if it proves necessary, to enforce UN Security Council demands.
I hope the United States Congress will act promptly on its resolution, because that will show that America is united behind this effort. And with that congressional resolution, then I think our efforts to get a UN resolution are strengthened. And I hope that this will all come about in the not-too-distant future, within a matter of days or perhaps a week or two.